RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he sports the top. Whoa. You think it's a mission? And it's all over. It's all over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin
punch
retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and this is the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast, and I've got a trio of fighter interviews for you here on this episode. You're going to hear from two fighters that are going to be fighting on upcoming UFC cards. And you're going to hear from one of the men that's going to be in the main event of the LFA card coming up on January 29th. The first interview you're going to hear is with Casey Kinney, who is going to be taking on Dominic Cruz at the beginning of March at the March pay-per-view, March 6th, UFC 259. Of course, that's going to be headlined by Jan Błachowicz, defending his light heavyweight title against the middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. That's a fight card that's now going to have three title fights. As MMA Junkie reported on Thursday, that along with Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson, also title fight on that card, Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan. Of course, Peter Yan defending the title, which is kind of ironic because in this conversation, I bring up the potential of that fight being on this card. And of course, we taped that interview before the news of that came out. But a huge fight that Casey Kinney has coming up. So talk to him about his matchup against Dom Cruz. Then you're going to hear my conversation with Kevin Kroom. Of course, Kevin made his debut in the UFC last year. Initially a win over Roosevelt Roberts, but ultimately getting overturned due to a positive test for marijuana. And so talk to Kevin about kind of what has been going on with him, you know, over the past couple of months leading up to this fight next month at the end of February, taking on Alex Caceres. Part of that conversation I had with him was actually about how Alex was one of the fighters that he was very much interested in competing against, and had a great conversation with Kevin Kroom. Part of that conversation is actually the lows of lows and highs of highs that you can have in this sport. And I think not just in this sport, but I think in life in general, that I think a lot of people can relate to some of the things that has gone on with Kevin. And of course, obviously getting that performance bonus, you know, changing his life there. So you'll hear that conversation. The final conversation will be with one of the two men that's going to be in the main event of LFA 98, January the 29th. Josh Frim trains out of Factory X Muay Thai there in Denver, Colorado. He's going to be taking on Bruno Oliveira. Of course, Josh has been on a nice roll here, winning four in a row. Big matchup for him heading into 2021. And, you know, look, you can see it for Josh in that fight. If he gets a win there, potentially, you know, maybe his next fight is in the UFC, or who knows? Maybe it's in Bellator. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. But got those interviews come up here on this edition of the podcast. Of course, as always, a great way to show your support for the podcast is leave a rating and review. If you just want to hit that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that is greatly appreciated. Appreciate anyone that does that. Great way to show your support for the podcast. Also, another great way to show your support for the podcast is to subscribe to our channel on YouTube. We do put interviews up there every week. Try to get you, you know, 3 or 4-ish video content piece a week up there on the MMA Report YouTube channel. So be sure to check out that. Before we get into the interviews, I just want to mention something that was kind of a little comedy to me at the end of the week, and that is Bare Knuckle announcing their event Knuckle Mania, which this is something they've been teasing for several weeks now about you know, how they were going to come into here into Tampa, of course, Tampa, the host city of the Super Bowl there at the beginning of February, and how they're going to do an event in Tampa. And then I saw an article by MMA Fighting and notes that the event is in Tampa area in Lakeland, Florida, which anyone who lives in Tampa, we all know, basically, it's about a 45-minute drive. Lakeland is, for people who are not, you know, from Florida, Lakeland is basically the midway point between Tampa and Orlando. So, you know, like, I had to laugh when I saw a poster said Tampa, Florida. I'm like, yeah, it's not in Tampa, Florida. So just a little comedy there as someone who lives here in Tampa and got to be honest with you, not surprised that Bare Knuckle is not doing an event in Tampa on Super Bowl weekend, just because to rent out a venue in a Super Bowl city is very expensive. And I will say this, if Bare Knuckle thinks people coming into Tampa for the Super Bowl are going to drive 45 minutes to Lakeland, Florida to watch Bare Knuckle on the Friday of Super Bowl, I got another one coming for you. That one definitely is not going to happen. But as a Tampa resident, I did find a little comedy in that news. But, of course, that'll be the debut of Paige VanZant. So we'll see how that goes for Paige VanZant and Bare Knuckle. And also Chris Lieben going to be on that card. But just something I kind of wanted to just mention. It was comedy to me. And I know for the people that wrote articles, they were probably just going off what was said in that press release. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting to kind of see where Bare Knuckle goes in 2021 as they are. You know, look, they're obviously they're in the talent acquisition business and the big talent acquisition business. And we'll see whether they can make a little stamp here in the combat sports industry in 2021. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Casey Kinney, who is going to be taking on Dominic Cruz here on March the 6th, a part of that pay-per-view card that'll be headlined by Jan Blachowicz and Israel Adesanya. I spoke to him about this matchup against Dom Cruz and a wide range of other topics. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's got a big fight coming up here in March, Casey Kinney. Casey, appreciate it. I remember when this fight got announced, I don't know if like I was out and about, like someone texted to me, whatnot. I mean, my first initial thought was, oh man, Casey's got a big fight. Like that was like, what when your manager, Jason House, gives you a call and says, hey man, I got a fight for you. And he says, Dom Cruz, what do you remember your initial reaction?
Yeah, I was like, man, hopefully this is the right text. Hopefully this isn't a missed text, you know? But the only thing that threw me off was it was a little bit of a ways out, which I always want quick turnarounds, but for the right fights, I'll wait. And this was definitely one of them. I was like, I'll wait as long as you need, you know, no problem.
It's funny because so I'm doing interviews. One of the things is I pull up, you know, whoever on Tapology on my other computer. And that was like my first thought was like, man, this might be Casey's longest time between two fights in the UFC.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I always like to make quick turnarounds, but, you know, I did that and I got a big fight. And, you know, for big fights, I'll wait, man. I'll wait as long as they need me to.
Obviously, you know, we don't have to explain who Dominic Cruz is. Everyone knows who right. He is. I guess footwork would obviously be the thing that everyone talks about. But is there something that as you prepare for the fight, maybe something has stuck out to you that, you know, maybe you just never thought of before with him?
You know, there's a couple things that I picked up on, but we'll keep those to the secret game plan there. But
you don't want to share them?
No, of course not, man. Of course not. March 6th, you'll get to see some of them.
Exactly.
But, you know, I was just talking about it with Crouch and Chris. You know, we sat down, we kind of talked about the game plan, and it's like, you know, guys like Dominic, they're almost impossible to mimic. You know, you can get a couple good looks like him, but you're never going to find a guy that's going to move exactly like him. So I'm going to focus on sharpening, you know, what I'm good at, sharpening my tools, and, you know, just be ready for anything in there. You know, at this level, I'm ready for anything, you know, always. He's got two hands, two legs, you know, he's not going to show me anything I haven't seen before. You know, I've been watching film on Dom for a long time. I've seen different looks, guys that look like him. You know, maybe 10 years ago, you never saw a lot of things that he did. But, you know, this is 2021. And, you know, just be ready for myself and, you know, mentally ready and physically ready. And, you know, I think the rest will take care of itself.
Is it more about having your training partners kind of mimic that in and out type movement that he does?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. I already got the guys kind of trying to, you know, mimic his footwork and that type of stuff. You know, maybe a little bit of patience will come into play too, you know, in this fight. Really test my, you know, my maturity in there. Sit back, be a little bit more patient than I have been. But, you know, other than that, just, you know, got my weapons sharp and, you know, I think I got enough weapons to take him out.
How do you think the fight plays differently for him with it being a three rounder as opposed to a scheduled five rounder?
He may come out a little bit harder, but, you know, my pace is, none to mess with. You know, you can look at all my fights, you know, they're high pace fights and, You know, I don't expect anything different from Dom, but we'll see if Dom can keep up, even though it's a 3-round fight.
You mentioned about patience. Like, do you think there potentially becomes a point in the fight where that has to go out the window?
Maybe. You know, we'll see when I don't want to sit back and, you know, watch the 15 minutes go by and watch Dom go by, because, you know, that can happen as well. But I guess, you know, Dom does really well when you're chasing him. You're chasing him, you're swinging, he's making you miss. You know, maybe just sitting back, just being a little bit more patient than I normally am, I think is going to go a long way in this fight.
I think you know that you're walking into this as the underdog. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know.
Right.
Is that motivation for you?
Yeah, of course, man. These are the fights that I got into this for, you know. These are the fights that wake you up in the morning and you're wondering what he's doing, if he's training harder than you, type of thing. Still got a long ways till the fight, so I'm not trying to mentally stress out about it, but you know, I'm in my groove. I'm training. You know, I'm thinking about it already. And, you know, it's going to be a good one.
You know, I think the other thing that I heard when this fight was booked, you know, people were saying, man, Dom must just be looking at Casey as, you know, a guaranteed win for himself. Right. You know, like, does that piss you off when people may think that?
No, I don't think Dom would ever take that route. He might have took a little step down in competition coming off two losses, but I think we meet right in the middle. You know, Dom's still got to prove that he's got something, and you know, I'm trying to prove I belong with the best in the world.
Do you think he's fought anyone like you?
No, I don't think, you know, I think I'm a one-of-a-kind fighter. You know, I do certain things very well, but just all together, you know, nobody's fought somebody like me. And I think I'm going to give him some problems.
You mentioned about, you know, the extra time that you're going to have to prepare for this one, as opposed to what we've typically seen from you. Has that changed how you have formulated how camp is going to run until beginning of March?
You know, I think the Alatang fight was one of the first long-term camps that I felt like I perfected. You know, all the other fights around it kind of were short notice, you know, drop of the hat type thing. But, that was my maturity level in this long-term game. You know, I think I had 12, 14 weeks for the Alatang fight. It got pushed back once. So, that's something I'm going to carry into this one. You know, I feel like I got this long-term camp, figured out, and mainly all that is just kind of easing into it a little bit more instead of getting the call 12, 14 weeks out and, you know, jumping into the camp like I'm 4 weeks out from a fight. And, you know, that's just, you know, all part of the game, all part of learning. But I think I got this whole thing figured out.
Did you take anything from the Wood fight?
Yeah, man. You know, that was a fight I've been looking to get in for a long time. You know, that's one that'll go down in the record books. You know, I always knew I could slug it out for 15 minutes, even when I'm getting hit too. But, you know, I got to prove that. I got to prove my, you know, maturity a little bit, getting that late takedown, you know, still staying focused and, you know, the bigger picture than just knocking him out, also winning the fight. So, you know, I think I grew a lot in both of those. And, you know, besides just the skill-wise, you know, confidence, you know, if I can go do that on 20 days apart, back-to-back, you know, Dom Cruise is going to be a piece of cake.
I'm guessing Chris and John probably both said to you after that fight of, hey, let's not get hit as much.
Yeah, you know, let's see. That was my 19th pro fight. You know, I haven't taken a whole lot of damage. Even in that fight, I didn't feel like I was the one getting my chin rocked and, you know, getting my head snapped back. I took some shots. You know, I got hit. That was for sure. But a lot of what I got hit with was little, you know, point scoring shots and I still didn't feel like I took, you know, a whole lot of damage in that fight as far as, like, big numbered, you know, big damage shots. You know, I had a little cut. That was an old cut that opened up at the end of the fight, you know. First time I've been cut in a fight from a shot. So I feel like I'm still doing pretty well. The last fight can be deceiving, but my defense is, you know, it's impeccable.
So I'm guessing since you've got this long camp, you got to enjoy a little holiday food.
Yeah, always, man. You know, the weight's good. I'm always eating good now, and, you know, I did the dinner with the family, you know, I had the whole Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all of the above.
Now, is there like a go-to dish mom makes that's a staple for you in the holidays?
We're pretty, I guess one thing that Dad makes is clam dip. It's a special okay. little recipe with some clam and horseradish and A1. I always like that, but pretty standard for dinner and stuff, you know, ham, turkeys, that type of thing. Never miss the green bean casserole. Got to okay. get mom's green bean casserole. Can't forget about that. So, and then some cranberry. Can't miss cranberry at Thanksgiving, or I like it at Christmas too.
I'm not a cranberry person.
No.
I mean, now look, you know, if it's in liquid form, it's mixed with something, then, you know, I might partake
right,
a little
right,
bit.
Right. Cranberry vodka. All right.
But just like in terms of like cranberry sauce, I never got into that.
No, I like it, man. I like it.
See, for me, like, you know, I got to have me some pumpkin pie. Like that's like okay. my go-to.
Okay. I mean, I like pie, pudding pie, pumpkin pie. I don't discriminate on much food. Just no tomatoes.
A couple of fun ones here. What's your favorite app on your phone that's not social media related?
Skyscanner. It's okay. it's an app that scans like all the flights, hotels, rental cars. It scans like Expedia, Hotwire, everything. It's just okay. an app.
So, at first, I was like, okay, are you scanning to see what planes are in the air?
No. You know, I pretty much just use social media, but I was thinking, I guess I flew around a lot back to Indiana and stuff after the fights. I traveled a little bit, so I was using that app a lot, you know, finding rental cars or flights, that type of thing.
Is there like a go-to vacation spot on the bucket list you got?
Man, I want to make it down to like Cabo or Mexico sometime, but okay. I think I'm going to maybe do it after this fight. That's one that I want to check out. And then, you know, a lifetime one would be like Bora Bora, you know, after watching, I think it was the Fast and the Furious talks about going to Bora Bora back in the day. That's always a spot I want to check out. I really wanted to travel, go overseas, you know, a little bit, after this last fight, but with COVID and all that stuff, yeah. I'm just kind of wait until it's a little more free. Maybe do a Euro trip or something.
Yeah, I think for me, it's Australia. I think that's where I want to go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I could spend years just traveling the world, and you know, that's something on the to do list. Is, you know, also fight and make a living, but you know, if I could spend some time hitting all the countries, all the continents, that would be cool.
Is there a type of music on your phone that people will be surprised to know you listen to?
Not really, man. I listen to pretty much the standard stuff, you know, the normal popular stuff, some old school rap, old school rock, you know. Used to listen to some country, but doesn't get thrown in there too much, so I hit the whole board.
Yeah, I'm not a country guy. So you're not the guy at the gym that puts on the weird song that everyone kind of looks at and going, what the hell are you putting that on for?
Nah, that's not me. Not me at all.
Yeah, I forget who I was talking to. It was a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, I'll just put on Christian music to screw with everyone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, put on some Journey or, you know, something like that.
Like when you're on the treadmill, like I, for me, when I'm on the treadmill, I'm more, you know, I'm listening to very much upbeat type music. What's it like for you?
Yeah, I'm listening to upbeat music, you know, rap, hip hop, some popular like party songs, or some like, you know, EDM type music, techno type stuff, like upbeat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a go-to TV show right now?
Cobra Kai. I'm at the end of the season 3.
Yeah, I was talking to another fighter who had just basically finished up. He goes, this has got to be the stupidest show. He goes, it's just unrealistic.
Uh-huh. You got karate gangs fighting everywhere. But, I mean, I was a big fan of the Karate Kid, so it's cool that they bring back scenes from that. And then, you know, obviously the same actors and stuff. So I think that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, I've not seen the new season. I've seen the first two seasons. But yeah, it was definitely nostalgia watching the first two seasons of, like, you know, when you know, I remember when the original Karate Kid came out.
Right.
You know, I was probably like, I don't know, 8, 9 years old probably when that came out.
Yeah, it was it 87, 88, 89?
Yeah, somewhere in that range, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I was a little kid when I watched The Karate Kid. I think it was The Karate Kid 2, something like that. Came out in like 93 or something.
I can remember Karate Kid 1. I don't think I can remember the rest of the Karate Kids.
Yeah, I think I watched 1 and 2, and then maybe 3. I don't know. There was a bunch of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's been a bunch of them. Then you had Will Smith's son did one. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like right. Early, like, what, 2000, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a ton. I mean, look, they're remaking everything at this point.
Yeah, but, you know, it's good, man. It's a good one to remake.
Yeah, it's like, the other day I was seeing the signs for a new Saved by the Bell. I'm like, they will remake anything at this point.
Yeah.
If it makes dollars, it makes sense.
Heck yeah.
But, you know, in terms of a win here against Donald mm-hmm. Cruz, obviously puts you in an amazing position. Like, oh, yeah. Are you even thinking of that at all, about that at all?
Yeah, of course. You know, I've always been thinking about the long-term goal. You know, I got short-term ideas, but, you know, got a long-term goal ahead, and that's getting the belt. And I think a guy like Dominic Cruz, you know, throws me right in the mix of, you know, top 10, top 5 guys to, you know, start taking out.
You know, obviously, you know, this top 10's kind of taking a little bit of a shift. You know, Rob Font having the big win against Marlon Moraes recently, right. You know, Jose Aldo getting the win as well. I mean, kind of, right. Like, you know, and we'll see with Aljo and Peter Yan, you know, when that fight does happen. I mean, you know, maybe it happens, you know, on the same card that you're on. But I mean, like, do you kind of look at this and say, man, it's going to be about me just being ready more than anything else, because, you know, opportunities are going to come.
Yeah, that and, you know, going out and putting on spectacular performances. You know, I go put Dom away. I'm calling for Aldo. He'll probably get somebody up the line, but, you know, you got to reach for the stars.
Look, it seems more times than not, if you ask for the fight, you might have a good chance of getting it.
Yeah, that's I'll spoil the news before. I'm calling for Aldo if I put Dom away.
Look, I feel like, you know, when we talk about 135, there's two names I feel like everyone's trying to get a fight with. Mm-hmm. Aldo's one of them, mm-hmm. obviously name value. And the other one is a guy who's coming off suspension in TJ Dillashaw.
Right.
Which I all agree. Signs maybe do point that they're going to put those two guys together.
Right.
But that seems to be
what I was going to think too. But, you know, like I said, got to reach for the stars there.
Exactly, exactly. Casey, man, as always, appreciate the time. Good luck here in the beginning of March. And let everyone know they can find on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
For sure. Thanks, man. Always a pleasure. You can find me on social media at CKMMA135. You know, Casey Kenny on Facebook as well. And then, you know, just shout out to everybody on the team. You know, pretty much know who you are at this point. March 6th, tune in.
Great conversation there with Casey Kenny. I appreciate him giving me some time to talk about his big matchup coming up here at the beginning of March against Dominic Cruz. Very funny story he tells there, as mentioning about when he got the text message from his manager, Jason House, of wondering if Jason House was maybe meant to text somebody else. But obviously a huge matchup for Casey Kenny there. And look, if Casey Kenny can get the win against Dom Cruz, I mean, look, he puts himself right there. You know, when you're talking about that top five, you know, obviously we're going to see kind of how this division plays out with Aljo and Peter Yan, of course, who will fight here on that same exact card. You look at, you know, we'll see what happens with TJ Dillashaw, what happens with Jose Aldo, Rob Font, Sanhagen. You know, we'll kind of see how all this does play out over the next couple of months. But obviously, Casey Kenny going to put himself in a great position. Next up, you're going to hear my conversation with Kevin Krumkorsa, made his UFC debut last year, getting that initially was a win against Roosevelt Roberts, of course, was overturned due to his post-fight drug test, testing above the limits for marijuana. But did have a chance to talk to Kevin Krum, kind of about what's been going on with him since his last fight. We talked a little bit about kind of, you know, how 2020 was, you know, got off to a rough start for him, but he obviously turned it all around with getting into the UFC, and we talked about his matchup coming up here at the end of February against Alex Caceres. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to step back inside the UFC octagon where he actually has like more than like a day to prepare for the fight. Kevin Krupp, Kevin, as always, man, appreciate time. Obviously, I was on your Instagram a little earlier today, and I was just kind of looking around, see what you'd post recently, you know, and one of the posts you had was just kind of about 2020 of what it was for you. You mentioned about, you know, one point you've got $15 in the bank. Megan Anderson is helping you with getting you some food. And of course, and then, you know, then your life changes in a matter of 48 hours. So like, I guess you just think of 2020, what it was for you. Like, is it just like the ultimate high of highs and lows of lows?
I mean, yeah, it's wild. Like I said, man, I'm not sure about the 15, but it was close to there. I started 2020 broke as a joke, and like legitimately Megan giving me that food legitimately kept me alive. Like, I didn't have anything, you know, and I knew it was going to be my year. Like I knew, like I posted like right before, you know, like the last new year that like, I set the dominoes up in 2019 and 2020, they were going to fall. And so like I knew it was going to be my year. I knew it was going to happen. And then COVID hit and everything. And I'm like, oh shit, like, fuck, like this was supposed to be my year. And then I was just like, nah, fuck it. It's still going to be my year. And hell man, it turned out.
You know, and of course you go in, you know, that, you know, 24 hours notice, you beat Roosevelt Roberts. You know, now you got this one. Obviously, you now have had additional time, and you know, it just feels like the more fighters I've talked to, especially recently, they've kind of talked about how 2020 was like this year of reflection, and you know, of just kind of how you maybe looked at things a little differently in terms of the fight game. Like, as you like over the past couple of months, have you kind of done any reevaluation heading into this next one?
Reevaluation. I mean. Not really. I don't think I've like nothing has changed, man. I've been doing this. I've been in the gym every day. I've been in the gym every day since my fight. So really, man, nothing's changed. Like if it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm in there working my ass off. I'm still hungry. I got food in my pantry now, and I got some money in the bank. But like that hasn't changed anything. Like. I'm gonna take over. So like now it's takeover time, and so man, nothing's changed, man. I'm still gonna be the same bad motherfucker I was, you know.
Obviously, I gotta imagine there's no stress anymore when you got that money in the bank. That makes life makes everything easier.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've never. The only problem I ever had before was money, and so now like. My only problem's gone, you know, like I'm ready for some new problems.
Did you go out there and buy yourself something nice with that bonus money?
Man, I didn't really. I haven't really. I bought one of my friends a car. One of my friends, hard times, you know, mm-hmm. So I helped him out. I mean, they're going to pay me back, but. So that was really cool to be able to help a friend out, you know. And for me, like, I haven't bought me anything. I've just, you know, same old stuff. Nothing's different.
Yeah, as we're talking, we're, you know, a little over, you know, like 45-ish days or so, you know, before, you know, your fight here against Alex. So like, you know, as like, is it just right now? It's like this is the hard part of training camp of just these next couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like I've basically been in camp since my last fight, basically. But this week it for real started, and I've had the roughest week I've had in a long time. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It's just got rough, and I mean, it's gonna get rougher.
Is there a reason why it's now gotten rougher? Is it just kind of because is it because of the intensity? Is just gone to another level?
Yeah, yeah. Like now, I can't. If I want to take a break, I can't take a break. You know, I think James is piecing me up a little bit more than he was before. You know what I mean? And then that makes it all worse because once he messes me up, then I like realize that he like was giving me some rounds before, and then you just feel bad because you used to feel good. You're like, oh yeah, and then he fucks you up, and you're like, oh, like I'm really not that good. He just gave me that, you know.
And I remember the last time we talked, you have credited James Krause for what he has been able to do for you in your career. And, you know, James is one of these fighters that there's a lot of people who believe that, yes, he's a great fighter, but he's even a greater coach.
Yeah.
From a coaching aspect, how would you describe of why he is such a great coach for you?
We have similar character. So we just fit together. Like, I mean, we're a blue collar work team, you know, like, I mean, I've been a hard worker my whole life. That's all I've ever had. I've never had talent. I've never had anything. I just work hard. And, I mean, he's kind of cut from the same cloth. He is fucking smart too. Like, he's a genius. Like, he'll say things I've never thought of the way he's thinking of it, you know, and it just like makes me feel dumb, you know what I mean? Because like maybe I'll do stuff, but it's just kind of like my body reaction off of being training for so long. He is thinking about all this shit, you know, like, and yeah, man, I mean, he's just really fucking good and really smart and a hard worker.
But of course, you're facing a veteran here, just like yourself. You know, I think everyone has seen Alex, you know, fight at some point. You know, the amount of years now he's been in the UFC. Like, as you think of him as an opponent, like, is there something that you sticks out to you just when you hear his name?
I mean, he's got a name. He's been a while. People know him. He's got some clout, and I'm planning on taking that clout. You know, I think I set myself up with a really great debut, and now I'm going to take somebody out with the name, and I'm going to keep that name. That's going to be my name. So, I mean, that's all I really think. I know he's like a ninja, but I'm the ninja. So this is the fight for the UFC ninja right here, you know.
You know, in terms of obviously he's been on a nice little roll here. I mean, there's been a time for him where he's just been very up and down in the UFC win, lose type.
I know how that goes.
Yeah, you definitely know how that goes. But like, as you look at what he's done recently, do you see something where maybe he turned a corner?
I mean, his last fight was the fight that I pulled out of because of COVID. And so he fought Austin Tibbetts. And I mean, he looked really fucking good in that fight, but that kid was out of shape, took the fight on a day's notice, hadn't been training. He wasn't ready. So, I mean, it's really easy to look good against a guy like that. Fight before that, he fought Chase Hooper, which I mean, he is definitely good at some things, but the kid's not, he's what, 19, some shit like that. Like, come on, man. Like, I have more experience in my left pinky than that kid has in his whole body, you know? So yeah, man, I mean, I think it's really easy to look good against those people. And I mean, I'm not talking trash. I got nothing but respect for Leroy. I think he is a phenomenal guy. I mean, this is why I asked for the fight. Cause I mean, I think this is a fight for the fans. I mean, we're going to bring it, but I feel like it's easy to look good when you have good competition, you know?
You mentioned about this is a guy you asked for. So you called up the UFC and said, this is the fight I want.
I mean, when they asked me in my press conference about who I'd want, I said, you know, we were supposed to have this fight a couple weeks ago and it fell out because I had COVID apparently. And, so, I mean, that's what I want. And, I mean, there'd been a few other names thrown at me. I said yes to all of them. And this is the one that we got. So I'm pumped.
It always seems like if you call out a name, you got a good chance you might get that name at some point. You mentioned about, you know, COVID. Did you have any symptoms? Like, you know, like, cause like, you know, recently there was the report about, you know, Khamzat Chimaev of, you know, he you know, allegedly had it, went back to gym, had some issues, but, and I know it's obviously different for everyone, but as an athlete, like for you, was it like, really didn't feel anything?
I mean, they told me I had COVID I had no idea. I felt phenomenal. I had no problems. I quarantined. As soon as I got home, I quarantined for a few days until I got a negative test and then went right back to the gym. And I've had nothing. To me, it was nothing. So, you know, that makes me want to talk shit about everybody else. But I get it. Everybody's different, you know.
So when you were quarantined, what were you doing?
Man, I was trying not to hit the bottle. I was trying not to ruin my life. You know what I mean? Like that was a whole roller coaster of emotions. I just got signed, something I've wanted my whole life. And then I got cut in 24 hours. It was pretty devastating. And so for 3 days, we didn't hear anything about, I had no, it was just me by myself for 3 days. So those 3 days were pretty rough. And then after those 3 days, they contacted my management and said that they wanted me and I needed to give them a negative COVID test as soon as possible. So as soon as I heard that, I started getting the test every day. And I think on the second day, I had a negative COVID test and immediately went to the gym and got in it. So, I mean, really it was just not getting in my own head, you know, like, at times in my life before I've had pretty bad coping mechanisms. And I could tell you a few years ago, that whole thing would have wrecked my life and I wouldn't have been ready for the opportunity that I got in a couple weeks. So, man, I'm really happy with my personal growth and I'm really happy that, you know, I kept focused, you know, because it was fucking hard.
I think so many people can relate to that story. Was there a turning point for you? Because I think we all have these moments in our life where we're really down and maybe there's something, maybe it's a phone call from somebody that helps turn. Was there a turning point for you?
I don't know if this is exactly the answer to your question, but like, kind of what changed everything for me was, about a year, I think it was like last November. I was having trouble paying the bills. Bills were due. Life was hard. Shit was rough. I wasn't making any money. And, I was beat up and I was broke down. And I had a conversation with Grant Dawson about, man, like I'm losing faith. I don't know what to do. Like I'm stressed. Like I don't know what to do. And my man just looked at me with the utmost confidence in the world and said, "Man, I know you will make it. 100%. I know you will make it." And him saying that and like he believed it. He believed, like, him believing in me helped me believe in myself, you know? And so through all that, and I mean, I know that that was a year before, but like, through that, it was easier to believe in myself because I knew he fucking believed in me, you know? And man, I love that man.
Is belief, confidence, like, is that one of the major hurdles to get over as a fighter?
You know, I mean, it's rough, especially when you've had a road like I have, you know, like it's easy to fucking be 6-0 and fucking smashing everybody and be confident. Man, I've been in the game so long. I've made so many mistakes. Like, to be able to stick around and still believe, I think that it's a huge thing, you know. And I mean, I think there'd probably be a lot more people in my situation if they could keep the belief up. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm kind of alone. I don't know this. I don't know everybody in the UFC, but like, I don't know a ton of people who have had the road that I've had and wind up making it, you know, like, I think that's everything, being able to believe in yourself, you know, and, being able to work your ass off, you know?
I mean, I just pull up your record. Just see, I mean, we're talking 14 years in the game for you.
Yeah.
Like, does it feel like 14 years?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, I mean, actually it feels like I have like four different careers in those 14 years. You know what I mean? It's like I used to fight a certain way for this time and then something happened and something changed. And then like I won some fights and then I fought like that for a little while. And then something happened and some, you know what I mean? So, I feel like I've had, you know, like you know, four different careers in this time, you know. So, I mean, it's really interesting, man, for sure.
Like, do you ever kind of think about, like, your opponents, the way they look at you? And do you kind of sit there, like, you talk about these stages of career you had where you kind of say, well, in a good way, he's really only going to look at the stage of the career I'm in now. He may not necessarily be looking at kind of how I've evolved.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I always say is that obviously I would have loved to not fuck up and gotten in the UFC years ago. Yeah. That would have been great. You know, however, you can't buy the experience that I have, the shit that I've learned through this hard fucking road. Like, you can't pay for that. You can't. The only way to get it is to fucking walk the road. And I think that's kind of what's going to set me apart from everybody else, you know?
Now, I've been asking a couple of non-fight questions just to kind of lighten things up a little bit. Favorite app on your phone that's not social media related?
Spotify.
Okay. All right.
I guess. Right. Like, I mean, that's probably, other than social media, that's the thing I use every day.
Okay, so that leads me into is there a, if someone peeked on your Spotify playlist, would there be a surprise?
I mean, yeah, man, I have an eclectic taste. So, like, I'll go from, like, Dolly Parton to Tool to Tupac to, okay, you know, Merle Haggard to, you know, whatever. Like, I'm all over the place, so I'm sure some people would get a kick out of it.
Oh, I'm with you. So I'm an Apple Music guy, so I literally just I go and just find different playlists. You know, I tend to, you know, because I'm 39 years old, so I tend to listen to a lot of 90s, 2000, early 2010, and it's a wide range. As someone, because, you know, I worked in radio for, you know, over a decade, and I work for different genres. So yeah, it's a wide range for me.
For sure. Like, I'm all over. Like, I mean, I started when I was young, I was like only pretty much into classic rock, you know, and then just, you know, rap, you know, like, yeah, man, I've lived so many lives, you know, I mean, it's crazy, you know?
So, like, if you're hopping on a treadmill, is there like a go-to genre of music you like to listen to?
I switch it up, man. I'm all over. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of the most recent playlists I made is all over. I got rap, rock, you know, Rage Against the Machines, you know, Tupac, you know, I mean, I'm kind of all over.
Is there a go-to television show you like to binge watch these days?
I mean, I just got done with Cobra Kai, the third season.
Yeah.
And like, it's so retarded. It is so stupid, but I can't stop watching it. Like, it's so cringy. Like, I can't, like, the whole time, like, I probably say this is so stupid 100 times an episode because it's so ridiculous, but I can't stop watching it. So, yeah.
I have not watched the new season. I watched the previous two seasons when it was on YouTube, but yeah, I have not watched the new season yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it. I'm committed, but man, it's just so ridiculous. Like, dude, where are all these parents at? Where are the teachers at when these fights are breaking? Like, come on. Like, do the police, guys, like, the police would be called in an instant. Like, come on.
Yeah. You got to have some realism to the show at least.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's too much, but I can't stop. I can't stop.
Got to ask you one final thing. Of course, we're about 2 weeks away from Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. I think it's a fight that everyone's really intrigued to watch. It was kind of funny. I was listening to a clip of a Dustin interview. He was talking about he wants to make this a year of the guillotine chokes for himself. Like, as a fight fan, guy who loves this sport, do you see that fight playing out a certain way?
Man, like, so it depends on the Conor that shows up, I'd say, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, who knows? However, if he's on point, I see it being a really hard thing for anybody to mess with him. You know, like, I mean, if the Conor McGregor who fought Eddie Alvarez shows up, like, man, like, that's a bad motherfucker, you know? And so I feel like if they both show up at 100%, it's Conor all day. But, like, who knows? Who knows who's showing up, you know?
Is that one of those mindsets you've always had in the fight game of like, man, I'm preparing for John Smith here, and I've seen him at his absolute best, but I've seen him at his absolute worst. Is that kind of like that mindset of like, I got to prepare like that guy that looked like a beast is showing up every time I step into the octagon with him?
I mean, yeah. Do you want to show up at your worst? Well, yeah. What do you want to do? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be the best I can be. I mean, I've definitely not shown up at my best for sure. You know what I mean? Like, I felt good in one. I felt good in loss, and I felt bad in one. You know, like, so, like, who knows? Like, man, this game's so wild. That's why I fucking love it so much. You know, I've been in it for 14 years, and I still don't know anything. You know what I mean? So, like, it's crazy. You know.
It would leave on this one. Is there a biggest lesson you've taken from the sport?
Sport. Like, to me, fighting and life are intermingled. You know, like, I mean, you know, so like everything I learned in life is me learning in fighting. Like, I can't, like, how I'm doing in life is normally how I fight. You know, like it's just so close to my heart. Like, it is who I am. So I would say that in both in fighting and life, man, like James has a quote that says that, like, you know, the difference between normal people and the extraordinary is how long it takes you to get over the bad days. You know, like we all have terrible days. Life's fucking rough. But the difference between the extraordinary and the normal is how quickly do you get up? I think I've really proved that in with that whole COVID thing, and then me being ready in a week, 2 weeks, you know, like I didn't let it get me down. I was down for about 12 hours. I'm not gonna lie. I ugly cried. You know what I mean? I was crying ugly for about 12 hours, and then about that 12 hour mark, it hit me, and I just, like, some perspective hit me, and I just realized, hey, like this is okay. Like, I'm not done. Like, I'll be back. And I think that's made all the difference is the perspective, you know, like, because like I said, a few years ago, I would have grabbed a bottle and climbed in a tree, and I would have fallen out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just really happy that with my personal growth and how I've changed as a person, you know?
Yeah, I think everyone can relate to that one. We've all had something happen in our life where we were down and out and something brought us back. But, Kevin, appreciate time. Good luck here at the fight at the end of February, man, as always. Let me know anything. Follow social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Heck, yeah. Find me on social media, KevinKroom_UFC. I got a podcast on Spotify, All Out of Bubblegum Podcast. Check that out. It's just me and my friends being silly. Yeah, man, that's it. See me on ESPN getting this dub.
And that was my conversation with Kevin Kroom. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his fight coming up here at the end of next month against Alex Aceris. Fun conversation there with Kevin Kroom. I've had a chance now to talk to Kevin a couple of times, and you know, we'll see how he fares there against Alex Aceris. But obviously another example of if you tell the UFC or give a name out in a press conference and it's a realistic name, the UFC might grant you that request. So we'll see how well he does there against Alex Aceris. Now, in my final interview here on this edition of the MMA Report podcast, it is going to be with one of the men that's going to be the main event of LFA 98, which will be coming up here on January the 29th. It will be taking place in Park City, Kansas, and that is Josh Fremm. He's going to be taking on Bruno Oliveira. Of course, you may remember Bruno got an opportunity on the Contender Series late in 2020, got defeated there in the first round. So I spoke to Josh about this matchup, ultimately what led him to leave Pennsylvania to go to Colorado, and kind of what a win could be, equal if he gets a win here at the end of the month at LFA 98. Joining me now here on the MMA Report podcast is one of the men that's going to be the main event of LFA 98, January the 29th. So right here at the end of the month, Josh, man, appreciate the time. Obviously, you're big into the heart of training camp, I guess you'd say, right now, man. So,
oh yeah,
is it basically like this is kind of those tough weeks to get through right now?
Oh yeah, right. This is getting through the meat of it, you know?
You know, in terms of obviously 2020 was not the most ideal year for a lot of people, but for you, you had the opportunity to compete inside the LFA cage and now to put you in this spot. Just in terms of your LFA run, how do you kind of describe, you know, what 2020 was for you?
If describing it in a sense of like being able to fight for LFA, you know, I'm very thankful for the opportunity because I know a ton of people who are out there right now who are training and, you know, busting their butt trying to get a fight and they can't. And I was blessed with an opportunity not only twice to fight, but to fight for a big organization like LFA, like I've always wanted to. And I'm just fully blessed on that. You know, I'm very appreciative that I got that opportunity.
Now, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk. So I got to, how does a guy from Pennsylvania make his way out to Denver, Colorado?
Well, so after my last pro fight in Pittsburgh, I won my first professional belt. And I always wanted to make a move to a bigger gym. Like, I've went down to what is formerly known as Hard Knocks, now Sanford. I've been down there a couple times. I have a couple good friends who've moved down there, and they train down there now. So I always had a plan to go to a bigger gym. But my girlfriend, she's in the Air Force, and I also know a couple people who were out here training at Factory X, and we had an opportunity, and I figured, you know, let's give Denver a shot because I know I love Florida. I know I'm going to enjoy it there. Let's give Denver a shot, you know, see how the training is, see if I fit in, you know, with the people. And we got out here and it was just, boom, I fell in love with the place. You know, like every morning I wake up, I see the mountains. It's beautiful. Like there's not many gloomy days down here. It rarely rains out here. And, you know, coming from Pittsburgh where it's gray and it's almost, it's like Gotham City almost. Out here, it's just you have no choice but to be a more vibrant, better person. You know, you're always happy.
Well, you know, obviously, I'm very, you know, talked to Coach Mark over the years and, you know, talked to a lot of his athletes and kind of how, you know, Mark, you know, takes your game to another level. How has Mark, you know, what has he done to grow your martial arts journey, your skills and all that?
I mean, he has tremendously vamped up my physical skills 100%. Like he's taught me so much, but the one thing that me and I'm sure everyone will ever tell you about Mark Montoya is not only does he help you grow physically and as a fighter, but mentally and as a man, he helps you tremendously. You know, there's a couple times out here where he's had to talk me off a ledge. There was times where I thought, you know, maybe I don't fit in, I'm going to leave. And he would make sure to tell me that he wants me here and that he believes that I have the ability. And he helped me through a lot of my struggles when I first moved here, you know, 2019 into the beginning of 2020. It was some of the roughest times I've went through chasing this dream. And he was there for me. You know, he made sure that I was taken care of on a mental standpoint, you know, like always being there, talking to me if I need it and giving me the motivation that I needed to push through.
Hearing what you're saying there makes, you know, right before you on the show, I had Kevin Kruman and he was talking about what James Krause, and of course, obviously the connection between Glory and Factory X. And, you know, he kind of talked about like, you know, these times as a fighter that like the highs of highs and the lows of lows. And of course, you know, you had that, you know, 2019 was a year where we didn't see you compete. Like, and you mentioned about like that was a low point. Like, was there ever a point, was there ever a point where you just kind of, you really began to question things?
Oh yeah. You know, I remember sitting, after I had surgery on my orbital, I was sitting there just strung out on pain medicine, like, thinking to myself, like, I have a college degree. What am I doing here? Like, my girlfriend's having a hard time right now affording things and being able for us to do things because I injured myself again. I can't work. Like, we're struggling. Like, there's been a lot of times where I was like, I didn't want to give this up, but there were times where I was like, what am I doing? You know, like, I'm a man. I need to be responsible. I need to get a job. I need to provide, you know, and So there was some really low points, but thank the Lord that I got through it, and I had the help of friends and family and my girlfriend to push me through that, you know?
What's your degree in?
Psychology.
Was that something that, you know, going out of high school was something that interests you, or is it something you kind of grew into while you're in college?
No, I was always interested in psychology throughout high school, and you know, I've had my own run-ins with the law and CYS and everything, so I always knew that I wanted to go to college and get a degree in psychology and some in philosophy so I can work with at-risk youth. And that was my first job out of college, and I've worked in different facilities just working with juveniles, you know, who don't, you know, just like me, they didn't have the best upbringing, they didn't have all the resources at their fingertips, so that's always been a goal of mine, and eventually, you know, hopefully if I get on a platform big enough that I can, you know, actually do something and make a difference with that.
Well, you're well on your way to getting to that platform. You got a huge fight coming up here, obviously, at the end of the month, the main event. You know, Bruno coming off that loss on the Contender Series. You know, what's your overall thoughts of him as an opponent? Like, what do you see as the biggest challenge that he's going to bring you?
He's going to bring me some challenges for sure. You know, we're tall, lanky guys. You know, I know he has an 80-inch reach. I'm going to keep my reach to myself. But he's a really good stand-up guy. You know, he's very good at Muay Thai. I haven't seen a lot of the ground game on him, but I feel like I'm very solid on the ground. He's going to bring some challenges for sure. But I'm excited to go out and show people. You know, I don't think I got to show my power for sure in my last two fights, but I'm ready to show people the technician that I've become since moving out here and working with the likes of Chris Camozzi, Anthony Smith, and especially Dustin Jacoby, who has brought my kickboxing game to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Tapology does have your reach listed.
Tapology is not always true.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet. That's what you're saying.
It's kind of like Wikipedia, you know? A lot of people can edit.
At some point, we will know exactly what that reach is. But obviously, when you're taking, you mentioned about, you know, the 80 and a half inch reach that Bruno does have. Like, you know, and obviously, there's a lot of guys in your gym that have that kind of reach. What's the biggest challenge of when you're facing somebody, you know, that can be back that far and still connect?
Yeah. I guess for those with people long reach is closing the distance that you need, you know, for your strikes and just not getting hit and being at a certain range to where, you know, you can hit them, but they can't hit you, and constantly moving your head and giving them a hard target to hit, you know.
Obviously, main event, and I think your Instagram post was time to bring out the fireworks, I believe, something along the lines of what you wrote there. I mean, and, you know, and obviously it's the biggest fight of your career. You know,
yes.
I mean, I know it's a cliche that we hear in the fight game all the time, but obviously it is. But you still just treat it like, man, it's just another fight, man. I you know, obviously there's going to be, it's a more high profile fight, but do you just kind of say, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is just what I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to let it get to me that it's a main event and it's this and that. Like, yeah, it's not just another fight. You know, it's a big fight, yeah. But I believe that I'm ready for that. You know, I believe that I have the abilities. I have the mindset. It's not going to put pressure on me. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to perform. I'm going to do what I do day in and day out in the gym. So it's just another fight. We're going to go out there. We're going to touch gloves and we're going to scrap. Main event, first card, you know, first fight on the card doesn't really matter to me. We're getting in a fight. That's what I'm excited about.
I got to feel like if it was an ideal scenario, you just rather just be the first fight of the night. Let's just go. Let's get this done instead of sitting around waiting.
Yeah. I don't like to sit and wait. You know, I like to get there, get warmed up. Let's go.
Is that kind of part of the preparations, though, of like, okay, I'm going to have to sit around all day. You know, like, have you thought about like just what fight day of how you're going to kind of schedule it out?
Yeah. And I was blessed that I was able to compete for LFA last year, and I know how they have everything set up now. So I know their schedule. I know what they're going to do and what they require me to do. And I'm all like 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. I'm still imagining like all right, I'm going to get off the plane at this time. I'm going to do this. So last time, that was a little bit of an issue. Let's see if we can make it easier this time. Yeah, I'm already planning out the week, you know. I'm planning out my playlist that I'm going to play when I'm in the back warming up, all the quotes and everything I want to take along with me. I'm planning it out.
Now, are you the type of fighter that it's always the same playlist, or do you switch it up?
It's about the same playlist. You know, I have a couple songs that really bring out just a different like side of me that I don't show very often, because I do walk around with a huge chip on my shoulder. You know, I felt in my entire life with every sport, everything I've ever done, I got passed over or looked over. So I definitely have a particular type of music that I listen to get me in the mindset to go out there and perform.
Now, has there been a time where you're warming up, you know, you got the playlist going on, and your cornermen go, what the hell is this?
Yeah, a couple times, you know, like, not only do I love rap, you know, I'm a huge Tupac fan, okay, but I also, my mom raised me on Boyz II Men, Mariah Carey, okay, Celine Dion. Like, I love all types of R&B music. So, like, yeah, every once in a while, I'll slip in, you know, maybe some Usher, you know, just to get the vibe right. And my corner will be like, what are you listening to?
Now, is there a surprise? Would your people around you be surprised to know what kind of music might be on your playlist that maybe you just listen to, you know, on average, you know, Wednesday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I've gotten this all through college, too. Like, I look a certain way, I guess. People would assume I was in a frat or something in college, and I was the farthest thing from it. Okay. But yeah, like when I throw on some Chris Brown or Trey Songz or something like that, like I'm a huge Bryson Tiller fan, like just R&B in general. Mm-hmm. When I start playing that, people look at me funny. They're like, oh, I would have taken you for like a Motley Crue type of guy or something like that.
In terms of, you know, keeping on the phone genre here, what's your favorite phone app that's not social media related?
Right now, it would have to be this one game. I have this one game that I'm playing right now. I'm not a real big gamer. I don't have an Xbox or anything like that. But it's a little motocross game. I think it's Trials. It's called Trials. So, like, every once in a while when I'm bored, I'll just throw it on and I'll start racing my dirt bike and whatnot.
Do you have a favorite social media platform?
They all give me anxiety. I don't say I have a favorite, but I'm leaning. I used to be like, I'm huge into Instagram, obviously, but I'm starting to like Twitter a lot more. But yeah, social media in general gives me anxiety. So I'm trying to do better at it.
I feel like if you asked 100 fighters, I think 70% of them say their preferred platform is Instagram.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, you know. You don't have to, you know, I feel like I speak very well, but a lot of people don't. So, yeah, if you can just throw up a picture and a cool little caption, it works a lot easier than, you know, through Facebook or Twitter, where, you know, not everyone's grammar is the greatest and not everyone's spelling is the greatest. So, yeah, I can see why Instagram's the best.
Look, on Twitter, I just need an edit button when, you know, you know, just give me like where I can edit like a minute after I send the tweet out or something. Just, you know, because you just hate when you send a tweet out and then, like, you know, a minute later you realize, damn it, I misspelled like three words in there.
Yep. Yeah. Just got to delete the whole thing and forget about it.
Yeah. No, man. Been there so often. You mentioned about you're not really a video game guy. Are you a binge TV watcher?
I wouldn't even say, like, I watch TV, you know, towards the end of my day when I'm trying to go to sleep or if I'm just chilling. I'm a huge It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, probably my favorite show ever. I like Parks and Rec, Office, different things of that nature. But I don't watch too much TV just because I'm always on the go. I'm either working, I'm training, or I'm outside doing something.
Outside of watching MMA, do you have a favorite sport you like to watch?
Sorry, yeah, I do. I'm a huge football fan. Go Steelers. And I love baseball. I love watching hockey. I'm not a big fan of soccer, I guess. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of soccer. But, football and baseball. I tried to get into basketball. I'm a fan of some basketball, but when it comes to like just sitting down and watching a game, I'd probably football and baseball for me.
Yeah, for me, I mean, football is number one for my life. MMA is number two, but yeah, NBA is because I played a lot of basketball growing up too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I never played basketball just because it was during wrestling season. But you know, being 6'4" and how tall I am, I probably should have went that route, maybe. But I'm glad I didn't.
I'm surprised it may not have been a coach at your school and going, "Hey, Josh, don't you want to play a little b-ball?"
Right. It was the thing. Like I went to a meeting when I went to public school for the first time in seventh grade, and the coach was like, "What would you rather be known for, dunking on someone or beating someone up?" And I was like, "I'd rather beat someone up than dunk on them."
Do you remember the first time you watched a combat sports match?
Yeah. I'll never forget. It was this DVD that I somehow came across. It was one of the UFC, like I forget, not like the very first one or something like that, but it was one of the UFC fights. And I just remember watching that and thinking, wow, that's really cool. And I really want to do that. And I saw Matt Hughes. I remember like the first time I remember someone, it was Matt Hughes was like the first person I ever remember significantly. And I was like, that dude's bad. He's bad, dude. I want to be like that. Like, you know, alpha male type stuff.
Of course, we get to see your fight come up here at the end of the month. UFC Fight Pass LFA 98. Josh, man, appreciate your time. Good luck here in the upcoming matchup. Let me know if they can follow you on social media. And, of course, anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you having me on here, man. I really thank you a lot. My social media, you can hit me up at Josh Fremd MMA on my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, any of that. And I'm just excited, man. I'm really excited to go out and show everyone the improvements that I've made. You know, I haven't got to show a lot yet, so I'm excited.
And that was my conversation with Josh Fremd. Appreciate him coming on the podcast. So he talked about his matchup. Come here at the end of the month, LFA 98. That'll actually be the second LFA show of 2021. Their first show is going to take place here on Friday, January the 15th. Airs live on UFC Fight Pass. Of course, last week on the show, we had Michael Stack on the show, who's taking on Jordan Mappa. Of course, a vacant lightweight title fight is going to headline that card. Nick Brown looking to claim that title. So, obviously, we are finally getting into the stretch of UFC cards and MMA cards happening, as it's been a couple weeks here. So, I think we're all kind of giddy to have some mixed martial arts action. Of course, coming up on Saturday, we have got the UFC Fight Island number 7, of course, headlined by Calvin Kattar, taking on Max Holloway. I saw Tyson Chartier had a funny post where I guess so apparently soda's like $8 on Fight Island. So the New England cartel has packed some soda as they actually left on Friday to head to Abu Dhabi. They got to Vegas a couple days earlier, did the whole quarantine, COVID test, So they are now in Abu Dhabi for that matchup. Of course, main card going to be on ABC coming up here on Saturday. Of course, myself and Daniel Calvon, we are going to preview that fight card coming up here on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Get you ready for that fight card. Of course, that is a fight card that will be on ABC. The main card will be on ABC. So looking forward to that one. Really, I mean, the main event's a great main event in terms of that one, in terms of Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. That's a fight that, I do kind of expect that it's going to go, you know, all 25 minutes. I think it should be a fun fight. It can be really interesting. If that fight does hit the fourth and fifth round, I mean, I do expect that's likely going to happen, but that's an interesting one. You know, just looking at the main card that is going to be on ABC, Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown, Santiago Ponzinibbio against Li Jialing, Joaquin Buckley going to be taking on Alessio Jaccario, Punahele Soriano against Dusko Torovic. So that's a nice main card that they've got on ABC coming up on Saturday. Phil Hawes is on the preliminary card. That's definitely a guy to, you know, pay attention to. Of course, you heard myself and Daniel Galvan talking a little bit about Phil Hawes on the last episode of the podcast, really kind of see how he develops in 2021. You know, we'll see when Bellator returns.
Bellator, as a recording of this podcast, has not come out and said when their first event in 2021 is going to be. Scott Coker, over the last 2 weeks or so, has been doing the media rounds, kind of alluding to the fact of the likely first card for Bellator will be sometime in February. And, you got to imagine when it comes to Bellator, I think we're all kind of just sitting back and waiting to see what they're going to do at light heavyweight. Are they going to do, your standard light heavyweight fights, or are they going to put together a tournament? And I've been kind of on this thought process. I think that they should go the tournament route, because I think that's, what they could do with an 8-man tournament with what their light heavyweight division is. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with Bellator as we do go forward. Of course, as always, appreciate everyone that downloads and listens to every episode of this podcast. If you can do me a favor, great way to show your support for the MMA Report is to go to, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, you're listening to this on iHeartRadio, Spotify, whatever platform you're listening to, if you can leave a rating and review, that really does help me out a lot as well. Of course, also, you can check out themmareport.com to watch all the original content that I do put out there. Also, you can see all the information on the sponsors of this podcast, where they've got special deals for the MMA Report podcast listener, whether it's Roman, Manscaped, HelloFresh, Fubo TV, DraftKings. We've got really appreciate all of our sponsors. And of course, the reason the sponsors love this podcast is because of you. So truly thank you for showing your support for myself, showing your support for Daniel and what we do here at the MMA Report podcast. I mentioned next episode will come out on Wednesday. We will get you ready for UFC Fight Island number 7 and discuss everything else going on in the world of mixed martial arts. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. New episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, RadioInfluence.com, and TheMMAReport.com.